So then you can put this up on Tuesday and Thursday too, if you want to, or whenever you want to, but okay. So
do you edit these at all?
I'll only edit it if we make a mistake, but I don't like editing these because it's really hard. It's harder for me to see where the mistake happens.
Okay. So let me know when to start the recording.
Okay. You already started it.
Okay. So let me turn it off. Oh, shoot. Then you'd have to start it. No. Can you edit out this first part?
I will. I haven't started my recording yet, so.
Oh, okay. I'm already recording. Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Listen to the Stars. Today is really exciting because me and Karen White are going to be doing basically an astrological forecast for your love life for every single one of the 12 signs. So if you're interested in forecast videos, astrology, the cards of truth, tarot, or spirituality in general, then please subscribe, like, comment below. And also, I'm an astrologer, tarot card reader, and life coach, and you can find more about my services and what I offer at my website, NicoleBrenny.com. So I'm going to be letting you guys know more about Karen, but some of you already know her because she's been on my channel before, and she interviewed me. She's the only person that interviewed me on my own channel. Babaji did an interview of me for his channel that I posted on my channel, so there was that. But yeah, so hopefully some of you are familiar with Karen, but she's an amazing astrologer. She does a lot of relationship readings, which is why I thought doing the love forecast with Karen is perfect, and she does a lot of other stuff as well, and her information is below if you want to book a reading or session with her. So Karen, can you give us your little introduction and what you want to share about yourself and what you're working on and promoting right now?
Oh, sure. I have a Ready for Love reading. That's my favorite one to do. I have one for a single person and one for couples. And I'm focusing on Venus and the Moon because that is the feminine part of ourselves, whether you're male or female, and that is the source of fulfillment. So it's the path to fulfillment. So I've been looking at charts to see, okay, where is the path to fulfillment?
Wow.
And it's either with relationship or without relationship, because not everybody is meant to evolve that way.
Wow.
Some people are meant to evolve just one on many, or through themselves and the divine. But at any rate, the birth chart holds all of that information. So that's my favorite reading to do, though of course it's not my only one. I have other ones too. I have one for purpose and career. Use the Jaimini technique for that. It's awesome for that. And horary. Horary is something I use in every single reading that I do because it's so practical and useful. And oh yeah, Varshafala birthday chart readings once a year. Those are good too. And anyway, so today, like Nicole said, we're going to be focusing on relationship for the signs. And I don't know, do you think they'd be interested in what kind of technique I'm using?
Yeah, and I want to mention to all my subscribers, some of you guys ask me for career readings, like to find out your specific career. And I actually don't do that. I haven't studied Jaimini yet. So Karen is a perfect person to book a reading with if that's what you're interested in. And I will be learning at some point. So if you wanted to know my perspective, once I finish studying that in depth, then of course you can book with me later on. But definitely, I haven't studied any Jaimini and I don't do Varshafala. So I would definitely check out Karen's offerings because I don't even offer some of that stuff right now.
Oh, okay. I thought you did that with the cards.
Well, you can. I can do tarot card readings with that kind of stuff, but some people want astrology specifically, you know?
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to be using something called Jaimini's Second Strength, mostly. It's not entirely, but mostly. And so the aspects are a little different. So if you're puzzled as to how I'm coming up with some of the stuff I'm coming up with, that's why. The aspects are a bit different for Jaimini than for regular astrology. So you want to start with Aries?
Yeah, let's start with Aries. And what I'm going to do is I'm using the cards of truth. And so I'll be pulling two cards for each sign. It will be a highlight and a low point, or like something that you have to work through in your love life for January.
Mm.
So Let's start with Aries.
Okay, and this is for, it works best if your ascendant is Aries. Though, of course, you can use your sun sign or your moon sign, though it works best from your ascendant sign. If you don't know what that is.
I'll put a chart calculator from Vault of the Heavens so that people will be using the same zodiac and everything.
Right, I have it on my website too. Ernst gave me the software, the code or whatever, so you can also get it at my site if you want to. Anyway, you can get it at Vault of the Heavens. You can get it. Do you have it on your website?
Well, I don't have a chart calculator, so I'll just put the link that I always give them.
Okay, okay.
Karen's website is going to be below too, so if you're already on there.
Okay, great.
Go calculate your chart right now. Pause this video.
Yes, go get it. Okay, so Aries. Yes. Well, we know that Jupiter has gone into Scorpio. It went into Scorpio in October. And Jupiter is one of the manifesting planets. Mm-hmm. And so any house of the 12 houses in the chart that Jupiter is in or aspecting, he's going to be helping to manifest this year. Mm-hmm. Jupiter stays in the sign for a year. Also, Mercury is a manifester too, and he'll be mentioned as well. And because this is relationship, I'm also following Venus. Yeah. So for Aries, Jupiter is aspecting the house, the first house of the self and the body. And so you may have an increased feeling of well-being, you know, a sense of optimism and expansion energy. And so if you're single and you've been hiding out in your house and not feeling like you're attractive enough to start dating, well, now's a good time to start. And Mars is there too. Mars is transiting, well, aspecting it, and that will give you some courage. And the nice thing about Mars is that it helps you to stay youthful looking. So there's that.
And it's in its own sign. Mars is going to be in its own sign, so that's good.
Right. He's in his own sign of Scorpio, and he's actually with Jupiter. Mm. And for Aries, it's in the eighth house. And if you're in a relationship, the eighth house is the intimate bond you have with your partner. It's also your partner's resources, whether it's money or property, it doesn't matter what it is. So Jupiter there means there'll be some expansion in that area for your partner. And since that person is your partner, it's an expansion for you as well. Venus is aspecting, transiting Venus is aspecting that house, and Mars is there. So now Mars can be a separating influence, but because Venus is also going through there, you can have like a little revival of romantic sexual attraction between yourself and your partner. And that's always nice. Just when you think it's gone for good, a transit comes around and it's revived all over again. And let me see what else.
Maybe Mercury, because Mercury's that other manifester.
Yeah, Mercury's in the ninth for Aries, and that's the house of marriage. And so Mercury there can help you to manifest a marriage if you want one, or it can just bring some information from a higher source. Like it can be spirituality, or maybe you'll go to a new place, like maybe join a spiritual group, go back to church, get involved in a meditation group, study something together. That would be fun too, because Mercury is also fun. And fun is so important in a relationship. So that's one of the ways that you guys can have fun together.
Yeah, and then also Mercury will be moving into the 10th house, I'm just going to ask you, so you think that Mercury moving into the 10th house will manifest more career stuff too?
Oh yeah, it definitely helps. And also right now for Aries, Jupiter is aspecting that house.
Okay. So we're not talking about career, but I'm just curious as to how you're doing this with Jamie. So,
well, what it does, But for instance, I see that Venus is right between Saturn and the Sun there for Aries. And so they may be longing to spend more time at home relaxing, you know, either with themselves or a new partner or their spouse, but they're feeling like pressed between Saturn and the Sun. And so that would be career, the demands of their career, and duty, you know, the duty to the relationship, to provide, because nowadays it's usually both partners are doing that. And Jupiter aspecting that can help, can okay. really help with that. Jupiter kind of smooths over a lot of things. And so, you know, you bring that home to your partner, whatever it is that you're able to accomplish in your career. And also because you have Venus and Mars going through the 8th, if you can't manage to get away together or have fun together in the usual ways, at least you have the opportunity to renew each other through your intimate bond.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of smooth away the stress of what's going on at work.
Yeah, I've actually definitely seen in clients that Jupiter through the 8th house can be extremely sexually, like, pleasurable, like sexual awakenings of some kind too, because, you know, that 8th house is at intimacy. So, I mean, this is a slower moving transit, but during this year, there's that potential to, like, go deeper into sexuality.
Yes, and also too, if you're interested in metaphysical things or the occult sciences, that would be also a good time to study it. And yeah. study it together if you're in a partnership. That would be really fun.
Yes.
And the last place too that Jupiter is aspecting for Aries is the 4th house of the inner emotional life. And mm-hmm. Jupiter is happiness. And the 4th house is about happiness. So figuring out what happiness really is for you, and then organizing your life basically around that would be a great thing for you to be doing this whole year. Yeah. Mars is there too, but that's just, Mars is aspecting it too, but Mars is a much shorter transit than Jupiter is. So when you have Mars there, it might be time for you to like fix things around the house that have been bugging you that you haven't had a chance to get to, and your partner, of course, always appreciates that kind of thing. Okay. So what do you have to say about Aries?
Well, I also want to say that people should check their house cusps, because sometimes people will have like different cusps falling in there. And then if you know which cusp you have, you can like see that manifestation strength on that cusp as well. If you know the meanings of those houses. So like if it's the 5th cusp, then add a little 5th house meaning if you're an astrologer watching. Or, you know, a beginner astrologer, otherwise you'd already be doing it. But, so I drew 2 cards. And I also want to mention, too, that we're going to do Aries through Virgo in this video. So if you are Libra, then wait until Thursday and we'll post that one. But you're going to get your forecast before the first of the year, but just please be patient. So Aries, so this is exactly what you were saying. So a highlight, actually, is the 10 of Spades. So we're talking about the career. We're talking about how, you know, and it's funny that I was the one that was like, well, Mercury in the 10th can manifest career. Well, yeah, it can, but also it's going to be manifesting a lot of hard work, because for Aries ascendant, Saturn just moved into your 10th house.
That's like
a few days ago from when we're recording this. So, or 2 days ago, I think. And so when that happens, Saturn is, for some of you guys, is going to be like, okay, now you have to focus on your work. Now you have to focus on like putting yourself out there in the world or whatever. You might take on more responsibilities, because the 10 of Spades is about feeling completely overwhelmed, completely burdened. But because it's a highlight, it's saying you're going to be able to handle it. You're going to be able to use all of your skills, all of your resources, all the different ways that you've like learned up until this point about your career to manage that and to make it go a little bit more smoothly. So I guess I'm glad I asked that question. And for the low point or something that you'll struggle with is the 3 of Spades. So another Spades.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing you're going to struggle with is you're going to be feeling vulnerable. So when it comes to your emotional life, I want to stick with the emotional side of everything is you're going to struggle with your vulnerability, but because it's a struggle, I think the most important thing for you to work on in your partnerships, or even if you are single, is on your own vulnerability. And maybe because you're not addressing that, or you're not allowing yourself to be vulnerable, you're not opening up yourself to the relationship that you want, or even to the relationship that you already have. So in what ways can you allow yourself to actually be open and not just pretend like you're being open? Or in what ways can you expose like this really deeper, scarier side, or not scarier side, but these feelings that feel scary to share? And because it's a low point, I think you'll struggle with it, but these, you know, low points are typically challenges that we decide not to overcome. So You can overcome, this through it by being vulnerable, by putting yourself in a situation where you're allowing yourself to just be. And I do think that these kind of counteract each other. I think that like the career is making it hard for you to be vulnerable because it's taking up so much of your time, you know?
That's really interesting that you put it that way. A low point is what you choose not to work on. That's really interesting. And one last thing I wanted to say about the Saturn and the Sun being together there in the 10th is to part of what can make life difficult for you at work, which then will affect your relationship, is ego. Because whenever you get Saturn and the Sun together, you get confronted by your ego. Yes. And you'll see it. If you watch it, you'll see it. And if you're stressed out and you think about it, oftentimes you can find in your stress that a lot of your stress is maybe being caused by how you're thinking about it. It could be an ego need that you're trying to get met, and it's not an appropriate place to get it met. So follow the inspiration and ignore the ego stuff as much as you can, because a person who really hates their job and they come home and then they rant and rave about their job, after a while that gets very boring for your partner.
Yes, I know that.
So that's all I wanted to say about that one. Okay. And I didn't even mention Venus. So anyway, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I also want to say that not everyone that's Aries rising is going to have a career. So I don't want to make that assumption, because some people, they're ill or they're retired. So it just means that you're going to be more overwhelmed by the responsibilities of your life. Really. Like, I'm just saying in terms of career that for a lot of Aries, it will be career. But for some of you that are not working, it's just like life is a lot, but you'll be able to juggle it and do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because the Jupiter is helping out, and so is Venus. Venus is in the second house of family life. So that's a pleasurable thing, not in it, but aspecting that house, aspecting the fifth house of fun and creative pursuits. And Rahu is there too for Aries ascendant. So if you're feeling creatively inspired about anything, like say in your career, definitely go for that. And then Venus is transiting through the eighth. It's aspecting the eighth. And we already talked about that, what that means. It's for your intimate bond. And then it's in the 10th. Yeah. So it's not all hard. You have some help. You have unseen hands helping you.
And the hard stuff is actually the highlight. So
what do you mean by that?
I feel like you're going to get a lot out of it, you know?
Oh, right. Because Jupiter in the aspecting the fourth will help you to go within, you know, and find happiness there, regardless of what's going on around you. And that, of course, is always great for a relationship. If you have that ability to do that, that is a renewable resource that your partner will always very much appreciate.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. I feel like we spent a lot of time on Aries.
Yeah,
so
let's go to Taurus now.
The other signs, and sorry, but Aries.
There's one thing I wanted to mention too. On my website, on the page where you get the chart, I have a short description of the meaning of each house.
Oh.
So good. You could go there. It's divinetimeastrology.com, and under free stuff, the download menu, click on chart calculator. It's on that page. And you can follow along so you can maybe get some idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, that would be great. So everyone do that.
So okay. You want to start Taurus?
Yeah, I can start Taurus this time.
Okay, that'd be good.
I've been shuffling. We'll take turns with our starting out. Okay. So I'm drawing one card in the moment, Taurus. Okay, Taurus highlight and Taurus low point. So Taurus rising and potentially your sun or your moon. So your high point is the Ace of Clubs. Ooh, I love aces. Mm-hmm. This is so cool. So there are four different suits in the cards, and hearts is usually the emotional suit, but the really cool thing about the Ace of Clubs is that it contains the Two of Hearts. So for some Taurus people in January, this could be a real time of making an emotional contact. Because I don't want to say you're going to fall in love and all this stuff is going to happen, because how many people that are Taurus rising will actually fall in love? Not everyone. But you will emotionally make an emotional contact of some kind. Mm. For some of you, this will be falling in love, because the Two of Hearts is a traditional card of falling in love. But with this card, it's more about feeling really inspired and fired up by an emotional connection. So I think love and the idea of love, maybe some of you it's watching romantic movies, maybe some of you it's like a new friendship that is really emotionally beautiful for you, or just getting to know someone is going to be really inspiring and a really good way to start out your new year. This is a great card. So as a highlight, I'm just seeing it as being like a really nice month, and like it will feel like a new phase because this is an ace. It's the beginning. So it's going to be something new. And if you're in a relationship, the Two of Hearts is about reconciliation. So if you've been going through some challenges with a partner, it's kind of like you'll be able to make up. You'll be able to come to a deeper understanding of what you need from each other. And again, like feel more fired up or inspired about what you guys have together. So it'll be cool to see what the astrology says. Uh-huh. The low point is the Jack of Hearts reversed.
Oh.
So the low point is that, and this is like kind of confusing, but the Jack of Hearts is usually like a new romantic partner that's very, very long term. And the Jack of Hearts reversed is kind of saying that it's a relationship that doesn't work out. So I do think that for some Taurus ascendants, you're going to definitely reconcile with a relationship that didn't work out for whatever reason. And now you're going to have to at least come to a, you know, a nice understanding about what happened. And then also with this card, it's kind of tricky because it seems like they're, you know, everyone's going to be different. I don't think everyone's going to meet someone and it doesn't work out. So with this card, I also think that it's just kind of showing that one of the ways in which you'll have a new emotional beginning is realizing what it is that doesn't work for you. So for those of you that are single, sometimes it's good to think about what it is that you want, but sometimes it's good to think about as well, what do you not want? What is it that you don't want, especially in a long-term partner? And I do know from the astrology that for Jupiter, where is Jupiter for Taurus? Is that going to be happening?
It's in the opposite sign. So it's in Scorpio. So if you have Taurus ascendant, it's going to the seventh.
Oh, wait, no, it's going to be in... it'll be in the seventh. Okay. So Jupiter in the seventh is a manifesting. It's definitely a manifesting planet. But here's the thing. That makes more sense with this card. This is going to kind of confuse you guys. But Jupiter in the seventh can also get rid of relationships too, because it makes you realize what it is that you don't want. So it's exactly what I was saying before with this card. So I feel like we're doing kind of like yearly readings a little bit too. But I think it's going to kind of start out that way for Taurus. For a lot of people, especially if your seventh cusp is really early, or like not even really early because Jupiter has already moved a little bit into Scorpio, but
yeah, it's already 16 degrees into it.
Yeah, so if you don't have a super late cusp, yeah, this stuff could be happening for you. So that's what I predict, is that there's going to be relationships that don't work out, and for those of you that want a relationship, you really have to think about what it is that you don't want. And even those of you that are in a relationship, keep those things in mind as a way of like gauging if you are receiving what you need, and to come up with new ideas with how you can take the relationship and to become more inspired by it. Oh, or I'm not going to bring any other areas of life into it. I'm just gonna...
Yeah, it's kind of hard to, there's so many, well, there's all these planets. Well, for Taurus, Venus is aspecting its own sign. It's in the 10th. I mean, it's in Taurus's 9th, which is a great place for if you're married or if you're in a long-term relationship. But it's aspecting the ascendant, its own sign of Taurus. So that's the self and the your image, basically. Now, the Sun and Saturn are aspecting that, too. So you may decide that you need some new clothes and or a makeover for your professional life. Or you just get your old clothes and you update them, you mend them, you alter them, or whatever. And Venus, aspecting the ascendant, too, if you have any health issues, you can probably get some insight and healing for them. It'd be a great time to get a massage. Maybe if you have a partner, for the two of you to get a massage. That would be really fun. And so Mercury is aspecting the second house, and Mercury is one of the manifesting planets, and that has to do with communication. And it's also your resources, too. So you may have some other new opportunities for making some money to come into your life. And, of course, whatever money you make helps your relationship. And then Jupiter is aspecting your natal third house. And it's aspecting the sign of its exaltation. So the third house is a big focus for you in January. And actually for the whole year because, well, Jupiter takes a whole year to get through the sign. And that's communication and learning new skills. And so that is great for the relationship, of course, learning better communication skills. And Jupiter is a perspective planet. He brings perspective through wisdom. So it can only be a good thing. Now, you do have Mars aspecting it too. And that's Mars likes the third house, though he doesn't like that sign. But nevertheless, there may be times where you have to set a boundary or you have to say no, or you may need to actually say some things that are hard to say, but if you don't say, could ruin the relationship.
Wow.
So it's put those two together, those they're friends, Jupiter and Mars. So that can be very helpful to you. Venus is also aspecting your fourth, which is relaxing at home and enjoying yourself. And it is aspecting your seventh along with Jupiter there, which Nicole already mentioned. So this could be good things for your partner. If you're single, it could actually bring in a partner. And if it does, it could be somebody from another culture even. Just because it's the seventh house.
And if people go through breakups usually during the Jupiter transit, typically they'll end up getting another relationship because Jupiter is such a manifestation planet, you know?
Yes, exactly. excuse me, because Mars is there too. But Mars is a shorter transit. So there may be times, just because Mars is going through the seventh, you may find yourself more irritated with your partner than normal. But because Jupiter is there, Jupiter can help to keep the relationship from, it can also help to keep from breaking up, unless you need to.
Yep.
Sometimes you might need to. And Venus is aspecting that too, and Venus and Mars together. In the house, I mean, the seventh house is the house of sexuality, so... I want to say funny things like, you know, if you break up, then you can have some great ex-sex. Yeah. I probably shouldn't be saying that.
Okay, let me tell you something crazy about Jupiter in the seventh house, though.
Okay, tell me.
I've done research on this, and Jupiter in the seventh house for a lot of people is when they lose their virginity.
Oh.
Or say you've been celibate for a long period of time. It can, like, give you, like, that, like, Jupiter exactly conjunct your seventh cusp could be a time where you start up your sexual activity again. Like, your secondary virginity.
That's interesting.
Or when it's very close to the seventh cusp, people lose their virginity because it's manifesting the sexual.
And I wonder if it's because Jupiter matures at 16. So that might be, and that's often when a woman will meet her future husband. That's what my current husband now. I met him when I was 16.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's really interesting. Okay.
Some sex. But makeup sex, because remember I was saying, like, with the cards, it makes sense. There could be some.
Yeah. We could probably talk about that one for a while. Okay. Anyway, Jupiter is also helping to manifest the ninth, and the ninth is the house of marriage. And it's also spirituality. And you have a few things going on in that house. I mean, Venus is there right now. And Jupiter's aspecting it. And so is Saturn and the Sun. Now, the Sun and Saturn, they can be separating influences. But there may be some parts of your relationship. Like, I know of a Taurus ascendant person who works with her partner. And that can bring stress into the relationship. So there might be some separation there. Either you start working together, and that's a good thing, or you stop working together, and that can help to maybe take out one source of conflict in the relationship out. That would be nice.
Yeah. Also, though, maybe you're going to say this, but Saturn in that ninth house, that's the ruler of the ninth in the ninth.
Yes.
Plus that Jupiter manifestation strength. So this could be a time for marriage for some people, right?
Yeah, it could. Yeah, because, yeah, definitely the lord of the house in the house is one of the Gemini second strength things, and it can definitely help. Saturn,
it's confusing because Saturn is separative, and then in this case, it's manifesting. So I did that Saturn transit video, and it was so confusing to explain that to people because it's like it can manifest, but it could also take away. But it's like depending on your dasha and everything. So
it's a complicated thing, and these are just general predictions, as of course they have to be. Mm-hmm. So, but if you want to know in detail, you can get a reading with one of us.
Yeah, but when Saturn and Jupiter, the double transit, we're only talking about January, but...
Yeah, just January.
Let's keep it simple.
January. And sometimes Saturn, too, especially when he's in his own sign in the house, he can really, he can bring good things. It depends on whether or not Saturn is a good planet for you. I mean, Saturn, all the planets are good. I want to say that. But for Taurus ascendant, Saturn is an especially good planet because it's the ninth house lord. Yeah. So it can really bring some good stuff for you. It can bring marriage. It can bring spiritual development. It can bring exposure to culture, other cultures that, and broaden your mind. I mean, there's a lot of things it can do that are good. Okay, and then the last thing Jupiter is doing for Taurus is it's aspecting the 12th. And the 12th is the house of bed pleasures. I know, it's like the 7th house and the 12th house. That's interesting, huh? More than one house for that. And it could just mean, too, that you just buy a bigger bed. I'm not kidding you. It's the house of beds. And when I had Jupiter going through my 12th house during my Venus time period, because Venus rules beds in particular, I bought a nice bed for the first time. It was great. I had this awful bed. It was driving me crazy. So I just bought a nice bed. And so it could be something like that, something as simple as that. Okay.
Right. Should we go on to Gemini?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I feel like
Gemini.
We're spending a lot of...
I know. It's kind of hard to keep track of the time when we're doing this sort of thing. Okay, so for Gemini, right now, Mercury is aspecting Gemini. And so that means it's aspecting its own house. And it's the first house, if it's Gemini rising for you. The moon is there right now, too. And so this could be, I guess you could have some fun. Because Mercury, is fun. But it's also a manifesting planet. In fact, Mercury is the manifesting planet. He's the main manifesting planet. So if there's something that you're wanting to do that has to do with your image or with your persona or your body, this would be a good time to do it. And the moon going through there too might make you much more sociable than usual, because the moon is a sociable planet. Getting together with friends, being the center of attention, telling funny stories, it would be a great time for that. And then Jupiter is aspecting the second house of resources and income and your wealth in general. And because, and Mars is too, and Mars and Jupiter together is a wealth combination.
Yeah.
And so you might want to look into ways that you can add to your long-term wealth, like perhaps real estate, though Mars is not so great in Cancer, but let me see, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's in the sixth for Gemini, which is a real estate house. So perfect. If you've been thinking about it, check into it. And Venus is aspecting that area too, so you maybe could get some kind of luxury real estate even. And something that you buy to be a long-term investment. Now, this is a general reading, remember that, so it may not actually be good for you individually, but this is just a general indication. Mm-hmm. And let me see. So Jupiter's in the sixth. It's with Mars. Again, real estate. That's what comes to my mind. Does anything come to your mind for that? Because Mars is real estate.
I always feel like Mars in the sixth can kind of help to overcome enemies and obstacles, or like, so in a relationship kind of circumstance, if there's like fighting that's happening and things like that, mm-hmm. then Mars can help you to deal with it, because it's good to have malefics in the sixth. And then Jupiter in the sixth is going to be more so about you having opportunities to like take care of the day-to-day sort of stuff, like your, you know, like all the errands you have to run and your health and stuff like that, which to me seems to be like the bane of, you know, or like a lot, it can contribute a lot to relationship problems when you have someone that is like not taking care of their life, not taking care of their health, things like that, you know, like it can really just break things down. So if one of your partners has a Gemini ascendant, then they can get their shit together and you can have a better
I was gonna say, men, we're talking to you.
Really, like,
you're the ones who have to be half dead before they'll go to the doctor.
Really, and yes. That so
right,
and
causing a lot of stress for your partner, because as a woman, what do? We feel responsible for taking care of the sensual arena, which has to do with, you know, the environment that you're living in and the food that you eat and everything. And so when you're like running yourself ragged, it can be a little bit stressful for us, especially if we're depending on you for things. But Venus is also aspecting that house. And so if there are health issues, this would be a really good time to make some progress on it and maybe set up some kind of fitness regimen that you can do together.
Yes, and this is a huge house of healing. So anybody that needs deep emotional healing, like, wow, Jupiter being there could get you like maybe a counselor that can help you through that, or something that's like, you know, something that can go into the deeper layers, because that is like the main house of healing, you know?
Yes.
I think, because it's like the house of nature, so it's like this really natural. So maybe you need to spend some time in nature with your beloved.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a great idea. Going hiking and stuff. Mars will really help you with that. Mm-hmm. He's really strong there. Okay, and then the seventh, Mercury is in the seventh. And so seventh house things will really be on your mind. And so it could be travel together. You like might go to a foreign country together. Or you may just spend a lot of time in bed talking.
Yeah.
Yes. You know how sometimes you just have like these marathon talks with your partner and you're in bed? You like spend the whole day there and you realize, wow, we've been talking all day long. This has been really fun. Mm-hmm. So,
or do you think it could make you fall in love with a friend?
Oh, it's possible. Yeah, if you're single.
Yeah.
That happened to me.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, though, let's see, 1, 2, Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So Mercury is your ascendant lord, right? Mercury will be crossing the seventh cusp, so there's definitely relationship potential for you.
Yes.
Right now. Definitely. Like right now, like in January, not, you know.
Right, in January. And if you're on a trip, if you've gone taken a trip someplace, especially to a foreign country, you could meet more than one person because it's in a dual sign. You could have, that could be really fun when you're single to have more than one, you know, option.
I realized I didn't even pull cards yet for Gemini, so.
Oh, okay.
Or wait, but you have probably have more to say, right?
Just a short little bit because Jupiter's aspecting the 8th. And Venus is there, Sun, Saturn. So there's like a whole bunch of stuff going on around other people's money, partnerships, resources. And if you're single, you could actually bring you some inheritance so that you could maybe do some of the things that you wanted to do that would put you in a better place to attract somebody to you. And then it's in the Jupiter's aspect in the 11th. Too. So that's income from your job, income from your career, and associations with your peers. That could be a very profitable thing for you to do. And you could meet somebody there, right? So you have some kind of peer-related thing, and Jupiter is the natural ruler of husband for a woman. So if you're a single woman, you could meet somebody in one of your peer associations.
Yeah. Okay. Should we go for this?
Yeah. What are the cards for Gemini?
Well, I want to say one thing about Saturn very, very quickly. Is just that Saturn will be going through your 8th house, and you can watch my Saturn transit video. But usually this is a difficult transit for people where their life goes through a lot of change. So just know that that might start in January. Sometimes at the beginning of a transit, you feel it a lot. So if you're feeling that, it's your Saturn transit, and watch my video about your Saturn transit. Okay.
Yeah, that could be a career change for Gemini. Yeah.
Yep. That's what I've seen happen to people a lot.
Yeah, me too.
It's like the beginning of the process, and then Saturn goes through the 9th and prepares you, and then Saturn in the 10th, and you're in it, you know?
Right. And if it changes, it doesn't mean that necessarily that you get a whole different one, but that there could be a big change in the one that you're in. Yeah. And what I've also seen is if you resist it, and if you want to keep things exactly the same, then you're going to suffer a lot more.
Yeah, it's Saturn, so you better just...
Yeah. And Jupiter's helping. Jupiter will help you with that. So that's a nice thing. It's not just Saturn all by himself. You have the help of Jupiter for a whole year.
It's so nice. And then Jupiter will be joining. So, okay. Or no, not, Jupiter won't be joining for a while.
Yeah, not for a couple of years.
Okay, so now we're doing Gemini High Point. This is so great. This is a great, great card. So the Nine of Hearts. So just in general, your whole emotional like outlook and what you're going to be experiencing is really coming to a place of having a deeper sense of unconditional love. Like not judging people based off of what you want from them or what you think that they want from you, but really just understanding that every single living being on the planet Earth deserves unconditional love, and you're going to be willing to come to that place within yourself. So in relationships, this is amazing. And so we were talking about healing too, right? With Jupiter in the 6th. And so a lot of times when it comes to emotional healing, one of the best lessons to learn is unconditional love. Because if you can like accept any situation, whether someone like really, really hurt you or you went through a crazy breakup or whatever, like the best way to forgive is to feel like I can love that person regardless of what they've done to me or what I've done to them or whatever, and let it go. So unconditional love is like the name of the game. This is honestly, out of all the 9 cards in the heart suit, I think this is the most powerful one. Even though it's not the 10, it's just like this is spiritual love. This is like being able to access divine love. So for people that are Gemini ascendant that are single, I was going to say signal, that are single, like, you won't even be mad that you're single. You're going to be like, I have this relationship with animals, with God or the divine or my spiritual work that just makes me feel fulfilled, regardless of what's going on, you know? So I think it's a really, really nice card. And then you do have a low point, of course, to look at, which is a Two of Spades, which is so funny because I'm the one that brought up the healing thing because you asked me, you're like, to talk about the sixth house. Well, this is the card of healing. This is the card in the entire deck that represents healing.
That's great.
So your low point will be healing because it's going to be, healing can be painful because layers come up that it's like, oh, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to think about this. I don't want to process something. And that's why you need to get healed because you didn't want to process it in the first place, right? So your low point will be healing. It could also just say that it could take more time for healing and things like that. But this is just this month. So I think that this month, a lot of big shifts can happen and could even be a part of this Saturn transit through your eighth starting up where like there's upheaval and things come up from the surface because the eighth house is the part of the chart that's like the first area of the chart that's above ground. So it's like Saturn is like coming from underground, like bringing stuff up. And like Saturn is also our complexes and these things about ourselves that we, you know, our fears. So there might be some symbolism in that, you know, too, that Saturn, because of this transit, is bringing some stuff up for you to think about and deal with.
Making the unconscious conscious.
Yeah, so that's what I think for these cards. You know, it's
aim of life.
It's fun with the cards because it kind of gets a little specific.
Yeah, no, that's amazing how it's just corresponding with what the astrology is saying.
Yeah.
So we're on to Cancer now. Right? You want to start this one?
Yeah, I'll start this one. So I'm just shuffling the cards. And so the one thing about Cancer is that, and I'll just say like one thing I noticed when I did the Saturn transit while I shuffle, is that Saturn will be in your seventh house. And I already talked about this in my transit video, but I want to share this again because it's like from my personal experience. When I had a Saturn transit through my seventh house, people are like, oh, you know, Saturn will cause relationship problems and all this kind of stuff, right? But for Cancer ascendant especially, Saturn is the Lord of the seventh, so it can manifest a partnership. And in my experience with my own chart, Saturn there gave me an older partner. So just to let you know, that just started. So I don't know if you're interested in older men or older women, but Saturn can be an older partner, a wiser partner, a more Saturnian, like strict kind of disciplinarian partner, a partner that has like a sickness or an illness, or like, you know, like weaker kind of partner, things like this. But I've seen it happen for people and I've seen it in my own life where it was a committed relationship too, because Saturn is like committed long-term.
And the great thing about Saturn people who are Saturnine, they're very reliable.
Yes, and he was.
They do their duty. They're very dutiful. And that is one of their beautiful qualities, actually.
Yeah, and if you have a seventh cusp that is earlier in Capricorn than in January, that's something that can happen for you. So I do feel like it's a love year for Cancer just from when I did that Saturn transit. So I can't wait to hear what you say. But here's your high point and here's your low point. So your high point is Six of Diamonds. So we can relate this to your financial life, but I want to keep it strictly emotional. And to me, this is the absolute number one top card for having a really good level of self-esteem and self-worth. Like you feel beautiful. You feel like good about yourself. You don't just feel like, okay, I'm good enough, I can go out there into the world and get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You feel like, wow, there are unique things about me that no one else has, and they're amazing. And I'm confident and I feel excited to share that with someone. So this is really, really nice to have in context of like wanting to find a partner, right? But then also if you're already in a partnership, to feel like you have self-worth, you have self-value, so you're not going to make the other person validate you all the time, which when I was younger, I was that person that needed validation in my relationships, and it's draining on the other person when you don't feel good about yourself. you feel insecure about your, especially like your physical self. This is like
your
physical self. Because I don't care what weight you are or what features you have, you always have a reason to feel beautiful and confident. Like we all have something unique that we bring, you know?
Yes, and if you're a woman, even if there's a part of yourself you absolutely hate, don't point it out to your partner.
No. Also, I've dated people that I thought were like the hottest people in the entire world. Like I just was like, I would see them and I'd be like, oh my God, you know? But then my friends would be like, what do you see in that person? Like they're a total dud or whatever. And then the person themselves would be like, I hate my nose or I hate whatever. And they would like, really like, I want to get plastic. They would never say I want to get plastic surgery, but
men
speak like, I just hate this part of myself so much. And it would be the part of them that I was the most like attracted to. So, you know, when you're like this, you just are confident about what you are because you don't know what that person sees in you. We have different eyeballs. We have different bodies. We, you know, the color, let me see, like the color red to me could look like the color green to you, but we both call it red, right? Because we've both been seeing it and speaking the same word. So we don't know. We don't know what we look like to other people. So just own it and you will. Then your low point is the Ace of Clubs. So we had the Ace of Clubs earlier. Your low point is basically that, so you're going to be feeling good about yourself, but I think your low point is just feeling inspired by love. Like, I do think that you might not have, I don't think that you'll, how do I explain this? I need to get into it a little bit more. This is where the intuition kicks in. I have to just stare into space for a minute. While the opportunities for love might be there, I feel like you're not going to maybe make the most of the opportunities at times, or because it is Saturn, so you might feel restricted. You might feel these, like, you can't make the most use of the opportunities that are present for whatever reason, for whatever that is. So for instance, and I'm bringing up the Saturn transit just because that's one of the things that I've seen in the chart already. But for instance, I had an older partner, but like my parents didn't want me to date someone that was a few years younger than them. So there was like something about my excitement that was a low point because other people couldn't share in my excitement, you know? So there's going to be something about you feeling inspired about, or about you feeling in love, or about you and your relationship or whatever you're excited about emotionally, that's going to present some kind of a problem or be a low point for you because probably outside sources, but it's really hard for me to say. Maybe through the astrological outlook, I'll get a little bit more insight. But I do think like that is part of it. Or also your inspiration could take a back seat because, you know, you're working on feeling good about yourself. You're working on your material life more than your inspiration. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. Though Jupiter is helping with that. Because Jupiter is aspecting Cancer and that's the sign of its exaltation.
But I think it's just for January.
Yeah, just probably just, well, actually no, for the whole year, it's going to be aspecting that sign from the Gemini point of view.
But I think maybe it's the Sun and Saturn in.
Yeah, I was going to say something about that.
Yeah, I think that's why it's kind of like there's something restrictive with relationship there. Because right. I know it's not going to be something that continues for 2018 at all. You know?
Yeah, no. Saturn will be there, but the other planets are going to be moving on. And except Jupiter will continue to aspect that house, and that will also help to manifest a partner.
Yep.
Too. So, and it actually, I've heard, you know, I've seen this too, where Jupiter and Saturn together, that energy together, can be like a business venture. So, like, you could meet somebody through some kind of a business venture. And the thing that I wanted to say in your relationship for January, because the Sun is there, if you're a woman and your partner is kind of like maybe having some, how do you put it, some struggles between following his inspiration and then trying to be practical, encourage the inspiration and ignore anything that he says about himself that is about doubt and about fear, and just encourage the inspiration and get excited about that. Because
I'm so
that
excited you said that.
On that. What's that?
I said I'm so excited that you said that because it helps to like boost up that card I drew.
Yeah, there's a synergy here. Oh, which reminds me, because Jupiter is going to be aspecting Cancer, the sign of Cancer for the whole year, Cancer people can find themselves noticing synchronicity a lot more. Because Jupiter is grace, too, and it helps you to be in the right place at the right time. And meeting the right person and reading the right book, you know, all that. And there could be like a boost in spiritual development because of that. So just keep your eyes open for synchronicities to occur, because they're there. You just have to notice them. They're always there. And let me see. So it's aspecting the 7th, 8, 9, 10, and the 10th. Jupiter's also aspecting the 10th. And so if you're a woman, somebody new could come into your job or your business or whatever it is you do. And so you could meet somebody that way as well. And let me see. Mercury is in the 6th for you, but that's a fast thing. It's going to go through there pretty quickly. Mercury in the 3rd as well. So that's communication, and the moon is there. This would be a great time to do some writing, like maybe some journaling, right? And to go a little deeper with whatever's happening. And or maybe getting together with your siblings. And see, Jupiter is not aspecting that, but it's a manifestation planet. So you might make some progress in your communication skills, which of course is going to help all of your relationships. Yeah, and so Venus is aspecting the 2nd house, and we were talking about what we value and self-esteem, so that definitely plays into that. And it's also the house of the voice, so you could be like more diplomatic. And Venus is in the aspecting the 5th house, which is fun. Oh, Jupiter too in the 5th.
I know, I was waiting for you to say that. I was like, don't you think Jupiter in the 5th and Saturn, the Lord of the 7th and the 7th, like, I feel like Cancers are going to have a very relationship-oriented
year. Yeah, could except, be pregnant.
Yeah, except for the Saturn transit Cancer ascendance, I feel like, or the Saturn return Cancer ascendance, I feel like that could be challenging, but, you know, besides that, I was just thinking, like, wow.
Maybe grandchildren. Yeah.
Grandchildren, children.
Creative projects. Mm-hmm. Yeah, more than one way to have children.
Yep.
Because I'm noticing that the Mercury moon in the 3rd and then Jupiter in the 5th, you know, a creative project that you've been wanting to get to maybe for a long time, this would be like a good time to manifest that, make that happen. And if you do it with your partner, how much more fun could it be? And your partner can have a point of view or perspective on it that you find really very, very helpful to you.
It's always so intimate to work on a creative project with someone. Like, it's so weird. I feel like it's sexual because you're using your pure creativity, and it's like, it's why bands have to break up because they're just like, it's too intense.
You have stories around that. You should tell us sometime.
Oh my god, I have so many stories about that. But So if you can do that, it's a really intense and amazing thing to do. All right.
Yes. So you want to go on then to Virgo?
Well, Leo first.
Oh, Leo. Sorry.
We have two more, and then we're going to take.
Sorry, Leo.
But I just want to make sure with the time that you're okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. Let me see. Yes, I'm okay.
Okay. So you start this time with Leo, actually. But first, actually, can I say something about Leo that I don't know?
Sure, absolutely.
So Leo, rising sign people or ascendant, you guys have a crazy transit happening right now that has been going on for a while and is going to last until November of next year. And this is not really a favorable relationship transit. It says Rahu in your 1st, Ketu in your seventh. So Rahu is a planet that is trying to get us to develop ourselves. And so when you see Rahu transiting, a lot of people don't pay that much attention to Rahu in transit, but I've noticed when it hits certain points in your chart, it can really manifest or bring things to light or expose things, you know, and it also causes us to grow in that area. So Rahu in the first wants you to grow and expand who you are and to learn about your life path and what you need in terms of career and what you need in terms of yourself and your physical self, things like this. But then while you're trying to work on yourself, Rahu's just putting like all your focus onto yourself, self, self, self. And always opposite Rahu, we have Ketu, and Ketu is in your seventh. So Ketu in your seventh is going to negate seventh house things in order for you to focus on the first house, which is you. So the seventh house that it's negating is partnership. So what this means, and I've seen this in a lot of clients, is it's going to play out differently for everyone. But just so you know, if you're having relationship difficulties right now, it's because you need to work on yourself. And if you're going through a breakup or if you're going through some kind of an issue in your relationship, it's because the universe is trying to get you to spend less time in a relationship and more time in your own energy, in your own self, in your own path. And there could be things that would change that for each different Leo ascendant. But really, like, I do see people go through breakups when K2 conjuncts their seventh cusp. I do see people go through, like, difficult challenges. Like, I've been in relationships where the person has Rahu in their first, K2 in their seventh, and I just don't have any time to hang out with them. So it's not even like, it's like their Rahu is like making me be the one that's like so busy I can't spend time with them, because Rahu wants you to get into yourself, figure out yourself. So it can be a challenging thing, and it can be a time when relationships don't work out, but the ones that do are really supportive of who you truly are, your true life path, your dharma, your destiny. So appreciate those people that can last through this transit.
Yes, you know, what I also wanted to add there about the K2 is it doesn't automatically mean that your relationship will end. Mm-mm. It just means that if you've built your whole life around it and you've been neglecting your own self-development, and if you resist the transit of Rahu, then it could do it.
Ugh, and it does it so hard.
And it can, yeah. So if you need to claim time back for yourself, if you need to get back into some projects or hobbies or a higher education or something that you've put aside, you've dropped down on the priority list for the sake of your relationship, or maybe what you thought was the sake of your relationship, now that's going to come back. It's going to become an issue. And so talk to your partner about it. It doesn't necessarily have to mean the end. It's just, but if you're in a relationship that hasn't been good for you for a long time,
or abusive,
K2 will help you get out. Mm-hmm. So it just depends. Now, Venus is also going through, it's aspecting Leo right now. And so you can feel more attractive and more self-confident because of that too. Maybe get some new clothes. Do something for your body, because Venus going over the body can also increase your strength, your physical strength. Mm-hmm. So, and then of course everything that Nicole said about that, I second it. And so Mercury is aspecting the second house. That is also your resources. It's the way that you speak. The moon is going through there too. So there could be some focus on that. Maybe thinking about how you can maybe take some of the money. If you're in a relationship, allocate some of that money for yourself. You know, don't automatically just put it in the pot. You might want to have that conversation with your partner about, you know, what's your money, what's my money, what's our money. You might need to have that conversation. So that's a good conversation to have with your partner. Mm-hmm. Now for you, Jupiter's in the fourth. So this has to do with inner happiness. Yeah. And Mars is there too. Mm-hmm. But Mars won't be there for as long. So you might find yourself busy a lot, wanting to get things done around the house, fixing things, improving things, getting rid of things. It's a good time for that. Venus is also aspecting it. So after you've like maybe cleared out a bunch of stuff and fixed up some things, you can relax and enjoy it. And if you're in a relationship, relax with your partner. Plan something rejuvenating. You know, not just sitting in front of the TV. Do something that would really be truly rejuvenating for the two of you. And then we see Mercury in the fifth. So that could be a lot of fun. Like have friends over, host a party or something. And then if you're in a relationship, you know, that's part of the fun. You're bringing new energy into your relationship. And then, of course, you can talk about it for weeks afterwards. So let me see. And then the sixth. Wow, the sixth house is really loaded up for Leo, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Saturn just moved in there. So
yeah.
I kind of feel like with Saturn there and Rahu in the first, it's kind of like they're needing to focus on their health.
Mm-hmm. And also perhaps their daily routines, the things that support their health. And when Saturn goes through here, I've noticed that whenever I have like Mars going through the sixth, or it's aspecting the sixth or Saturn, I just get really serious about taking care of myself.
Good.
You set up your environment to support that. And you'll have the energy to do it. You'll actually feel like doing it. Because sixth house is not that easy. Those things aren't easy to do. You know, it's overcoming obstacles and being consistent. And the sun is there too. And the sun is by nature consistent and steadfast. So now's a good time to set that stuff up. Though I wouldn't get wrapped up in the language of New Year's resolutions. You know, I've completely thrown that stuff out of my life. I just don't even pay any attention to it anymore because it's just another way to make yourself feel bad.
I always just have like an intention, like, you know, try to celebrate every holiday. That was one of mine.
It's going to be there for a while for Leo. So this means you're going to be able to do hard things. Really hard things. And the hard things that maybe haven't been wanting to do, that you've been putting off, you'll be able to do them. You'll actually want to do them.
And do you think I should, I still need to pull cards, right, for Leo?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
So Leo, this is so funny. Leo, this is your high point, which is really funny because the King of Spades is someone that wants to be alone. They're a hermit. And so the high point is not being able to be alone. So honestly, I think that for whatever reason for January, there's going to be, while you've been spending so much of this Rahu transit, like feeling like you've had to spend so much time alone and, you know, not focus on relationships, this might actually be like a little bit of a break for whatever reason where you actually get a chance to be in partnership or spend time with people that you love and not feel so alone. Because this is a high point, so we can't read this as a negative thing. I think that you might even be kind of going internal and thinking about like what it means to be alone and how you've been experiencing those feelings while you've been working on yourself, if you have had to go through some relationship difficulty. But yeah, I think that January just might be a time where you get to spend more time with people because maybe you get a holiday break or, you know, there's just less work because it's the beginning of the year and a lot of work is project based and a lot of projects end at the end of the year. So that could be really good for you. And then your low point is the Six of Clubs. So in terms of your relationship life, this, you know, the number six is a Venus number and clubs are intellectual, their ideas, their like beliefs and things like that. So I think a low point for you is just like trying to, like you might not feel like you're on the same page as your partner when it comes to like the way you guys are interacting and what you're wanting to do and what you're wanting to discuss. Or you might feel like, it's really hard because it's like they're switched, but you might also feel kind of like if you're trying to meet people that you just can't, you're not finding that intellectual connection that you need, that you're not finding that extra something that you need, like as far as your beliefs aren't in alignment or the things that you want to talk about or your interests aren't in alignment. So another thing that I'm kind of feeling with this that might even be more so the low point is I feel like you want to be successful in your career. And I noticed that with Rahu in the first, it's like wanting to kind of forge your way with your career because the first house is a career house. And sometimes when I see a non-emotional card in an emotional reading, it's a block. And I feel like your own want for your career success is kind of blocking you from either starting a relationship or really putting energy, appropriate energy into the one that you have. Because you're like, I need to be successful in order for me to have a good relationship. Or I want to have my career success and I don't feel good enough about myself in order to bring the best part of myself into a relationship. So I think it could be all those things. I'm not getting a specific read on this card like I was for others. So I think it's going to be a few different things for different Leo ascendants.
Well, isn't that also a path finding card? Isn't it about finding a path?
With the six, because I think we were talking about that once before, and I think that you found that meaning. So yeah, it could be about finding the path because it's a card. It's actually a card of success. So seeing it in a difficult position, it's like you're not either want. I think it's a positive thing still because it's a positive card, but you're just not allowing your relationship to flow because of that.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is that Venus is aspecting the 10th for Leo, and Venus is one of the planets that helps you to find the path to fulfillment. And it's aspecting the 4th, so your inner emotional life, and it's aspecting the 6th. So Venus will be helping you. So when it's aspecting the 10th, which is it's aspecting its own sign. So I think that Leo is, they're going to figure it out.
Well, I feel like they will have career success, some of them, but it also might not help them in their relationship because, right?
Well, they have to do some stuff on their own. And so if the partner is able to amuse themselves and take care of themselves, you know, while they're doing this stuff, then that would be great. If they can't, then, you know, then that's something you need to know.
Yeah. Okay, so for the rest of this video, we only have one left, which is Virgo. I wonder how long we've been recording for.
I don't even know.
We were like, oh, we're gonna record at 2 o'clock my time, and we started talking. I think we talked for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and then with Karen, we talk for hours. So no wonder.
And who's starting Virgo?
I'll start because I was supposed to start Leo, and then I just started talking about Rahu instead.
Okay.
So I'll start Virgo. So a highlight and a low point. So the highlight is the 5 of Hearts. So most of you that know cards or the tarot cards are going to be like, oh, this is a terrible card. So your highlight's going to be a disappointment. But there's a really beautiful, beautiful side to this card, and it's all about being able to accept the good about a person and not focus on the bad. So I'm sure Karen, in your career readings, you know a lot about that. So it's kind of like, you know, yes, this person has faults, but I'm going to focus on their good qualities and why I'm married to them or why I'm with them or whatever. And for people that are single, this is a very powerful card because it can help you to have, you know, really good judgment to make the right decisions when it comes to a partner. But also it can help you to, when you're meeting people or trying to meet people, kind of see like, you know what, I should give this person a better chance because I can kind of see these good qualities about them. Even though maybe at first there's something that's kind of turning me off about them, you know, it can give you that ability to see the bigger picture and to want to know more about that person, and it could be a really good thing. And for those of you that aren't even interested in a relationship at all, then it's kind of weird that you're watching a relationship horoscope video. But it could kind of just be this lesson that in your life to kind of, you know, focus on the good and not ignore the bad, but don't focus on it. Because when you like, there's a study that they do with children where, or they did this study over like a period of 30 years or something. And if someone knows a study, you know, tell me how I'm saying this wrong and put the link to it below. But basically they looked at these kids, and in one classroom they told these kids, like, how do I say this? Okay, they studied a group of kids, and in the beginning some kids, they said, you know, you're so good at math. Even though they might not have been good at math. And then another group, they said, you're terrible at math. Maybe you should try this. All of the kids that they said they were going to be good at math, they ended up becoming really good at math, mathematicians, all this. And the ones that were good at math and they said that they sucked at math ended up doing something totally different.
Yeah. And
there have been studies done where people typically will choose a route in college that their mentors or their professors really push them towards because they say you're really good at this. So when you focus on the good, you highlight, you elevate, you accentuate, you expand those qualities in your partner. I've actually noticed that if you just tell someone like, oh, you're so loving and you're so amazing to me, then they become more loving and more amazing, even if they weren't.
This is true. This is so true. You know, I'd like to recommend the work of Alison Armstrong because you're making me think of that stuff. And her website is understandmen.com, and it's for men and women. Yeah, because she's very empowering for both sexes. But that's one of the things that she talks about a lot. And she talks about a woman who, if she has a pattern in her life where the beginning of the relationship, everything is great. And then as soon as they're in the relationship, things start falling apart. And there's a pattern. She said, you might be a frog farmer. Which is where you take a prince and you turn him into a frog instead of a frog into a prince. And if you have this pattern, I recommend her work because I tell you, it's just really awesome. And for Virgo, Mercury.
Should I read their negative card first?
Oh, yeah. So go ahead. Sorry, I didn't realize you didn't do that.
The negative card. The negative card is that you might be going through some emotional difficulties because the Eight of Hearts is really about just like it's a card about needing to keep your emotional stability regardless of what's going on the outside. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, usually this card only comes up when there are things on the outside that are trying to spin your emotional waters and make them go all over the place. So your low point is really going to be about trying to maintain that stability, trying to have some inner peace, regardless of things on the outside. And this is for anyone. Like, I'm not seeing like relationship single. This is for everyone that is a Virgo rising. And it's really about like, and it might not be relationship issues that are getting you down. It could just be anything in your life that's affecting your emotional center and your emotional peace. So definitely something that we don't want to have to deal with, right?
Yeah. That's interesting because Mercury is really prominent for Virgo and is for Gemini too, just because Mercury is in one of the dual signs and is aspecting all the other dual signs. Ooh. So for Virgo and for Gemini, Mercury is aspecting its own house. And for Virgo in particular, it's aspecting the sign of its exaltation. So it is a focus on the self. And, you know, I was watching a video earlier that Ernst Wilhelm did on the relationship between Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. And what kept coming up was that the relationship itself had really good stuff, but the problems were caused by the need to do individual work. And so if you are having problems in your relationships because of where Mercury is starting off in January, it's the mailman.
It's an omen. Mercury, the mail.
She's a nut. then it could just be saying that doing any inner work that you do will pay off for all of your relationships. The one that you're in now, if you're in one, the one that you're going to have when you're in one, you know, if you're not. So if you're single. So basically it's just showing, you know, do some work with your body, your sense of self. It's also aspecting the tenth for career. So what's going on there? The moon and Mercury are aspecting each other too in all these places. So like maybe doing some journaling or writing on what it is that you want in a relationship, what it is you want in your career. Because Mercury is going to be helping you with that. He's the manifestation planet on the concrete plane. And also having fun, too. Like some relationships, it's actually better if you start off as friends before it becomes a romantic thing. Because then you get to know each other better before that. Okay, now Jupiter for Virgo is in the third. So the house of communication. And it's going to be there for a year. It's going to be keep going back and forth. So that's going to be a big theme, I would say, for Virgo. Mm-hmm. And Mars is there too. So there could be a lot of interactions with siblings. And Venus is aspecting that house. So it's possible you could meet somebody, if you're single, you could meet somebody through siblings. Or you can meet somebody just in your neighborhood. Let me see. And it's aspecting the fifth house. And you've got the Sun and Saturn and Venus there, aspected by Jupiter. So there's a strong fifth house emphasis for you in January. And because Saturn is going to be there for 2.5 years, for the next 2.5 years too. And because Saturn rules the fifth house, Saturn is a really good planet for you. It's going to give you something. If you're maybe even a child, because Jupiter's aspecting that house and the ruler of that house is there. So if you're wanting a child, this could happen for you. Let me see. And it is also aspecting, okay, the eighth house. So your partner's resources. It's also the house of the occult sciences, the metaphysical sciences. That could be a source of spiritual growth for you for this year. And it's aspecting the 11th house of income from your job or your career. And it could also mean, too, that if you're single, Jupiter is the one that produces the partner for a woman. So it could be through friends, through associations, peer associations, that you could meet somebody. Mm-hmm. So let me see if there's anything big I'm missing. Well, yeah, so Venus is aspecting the ninth. Oh, so that's good too. Yeah, that's the house of marriage and the house of spiritual things. So if you have some kind of a spiritual group that you attend, like church or temple or whatever, show up every single time, because that will be a benefit to you for sure. And you could meet somebody there, because that Venus is aspecting its own house there.
Yeah, and when we were talking about just like for January, that was for January, but from the cards, like there being some difficulty. Well, Sun and Saturn are together in the fifth house of like romance and like pleasurable activities. And Sun and Saturn, like you were saying earlier, is about dealing with maybe ego problems. So some of the kind of things that you might need to deal with or accept in the other person might be things that kind of challenge your ego, you know? That could be the source of difficulty, is just really like understanding that sometimes it's just your ego and it's not the true self that is seeing the difficulty or the challenge, right?
Yeah. It could actually be a time that where you could ask your partner a question like, what is it that you think I need to know? And then first tell your partner, okay, no matter what you say, I'm not going to get mad at you. There's not going to be a price to pay for this. I'm not going to kill you, I promise. But what is it that you think I need to know? That is a technique from the Hendrix couple. They teach relationship stuff. And that is where your partner can say in a third person kind of way, well, I think it would be good for you to know that when you do this thing, this is what goes through my mind. This is the sort of effect that it's having on me. You know, something like that. And or like the writing thing I was talking about, you could ask yourself that question and then let your higher self give you the answer.
Yeah. So
you ask the question and then just start writing without censoring and not worrying about grammar, punctuation, spelling, any of that stuff. Just get it out and let your higher self tell you what you need to know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it could be getting in the way of anything creative in your life.
I like that. Okay, should we end it here for right now?
Yeah, that'll be it for now.
Okay, so that concludes Aries through Virgo. And for those of you that are Libra through Pisces, you will only have to wait until Thursday for us to upload the video. It's just that all the editing and the holiday stuff, we have to do it in two pieces. So thank you for your patience. And thank you so much, Karen, for sharing your knowledge of the transits and of relationships and love.
And you too. This is fun for me. I would never do this on my own.
Oh.
Never. And doing it with you is just so much more fun.
It is fun. And it's, I also feel like I'm learning a lot more about Jay Meany, which is really cool.
And do know a lot about the cards.
Huh?
And me and too about the cards. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, we're going to be back in a couple of days. All of Karen's information is below. I know that some of you have already had readings with her. Some of you already know her. She's excellent. So actually, I've had her do a relationship reading for me. I think it was like a year ago. So thank you for that. It was excellent.
Well, you know, I'd like to mention, too, for the people who are my people who are going to be watching this, you know how to do the your best reading. You said the one that you really like to do is the...
Oh, yeah, the past life reading, yeah. So I have the past life reading. That's one of them.
And what was the other one?
The diamond reading. That's where I use, like, tarot, cards of truth.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, go to Nicole for that. She's very, very, very good. She's been doing cards for years.
Almost 18 years.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, so please, please share your comments below, especially if you're watching this in the middle of January. Like, let us know how you're experiencing things, what's accurate for you. Mm. I have had people write on forecasting videos or free reading videos like, your prediction for me didn't come true. And you know what? Honestly, these are generic. This is not me giving you a personal chart reading. So you could have a stellium in another area of your chart that is really like the dominant factor and it's not your rising sign. Something like that can be going on. So these are generic. Set up a reading if you feel like you need to know more. And please comment and like this video if it was at all helpful for you, and subscribe if you haven't. Okay, so I'll see you in the next video, Karen.
Okay. Bye.